Chapter 23, The Fifth Parable. While I was fasting, seated on a certain mountain, and giving thanks to the Lord for everything he had done to me, I saw the shepherd, seated beside me, saying to me,
"Why have you come here so early in the morning?"
"Because I am keeping a station, sir," I said.
"What is the station?"
he said. "I am fasting, sir," I said.
"What is this fast that all of you are engaged in?"
he said. "I fast, sir, as I am accustomed," I said.
"You do not know how to fast to the Lord,"
he said.
"And this unprofitable fast you keep for him is no fast at all."
"Why do you say this, sir?" I said.
"I declare that this is not a fast as you think it is,"
he said.
"I shall teach you what is a fast, complete and acceptable to the Lord."
"Yes, sir," I said. "You will render me fortunate to know the kind of fast that is acceptable to God."
"Pay attention,"
he said.
"God does not wish vain fasting of this kind. When you fast in this way, for God's sake, you accomplish nothing for righteousness. Here is the fast you must keep for God. Do not commit any wicked deed in your life, and serve the Lord with a pure heart. Keep His commandments by walking according to His regulations, and do not let any evil desire arise in your heart. And have faith in God. If you do this, and fear Him, and refrain from every evil act, you will live to God. And by doing this, you will also perform a fast that is great and acceptable to God. Let me tell you the parable I have in mind relative to fasting. A certain man had a field and numerous slaves. In one part of the field he planted a vineyard. Then he chose a slave who was dependable, respectable, and honest, summoned him and said, "Take this vineyard I planted and fence it in. Until I come, do nothing else to the vineyard. Do this and you will receive from me your freedom." Then the master of that slave went off to a foreign country. When he had left, the slave took the vineyard and fenced it in. After finishing it, he noticed that the vineyard was full of weeds. He thought the matter over to himself and said, "I have done what my master ordered. Next, I shall dig this vineyard. It will look better after having been dug. Without weeds, it will yield more fruit, since the fruit will not be choked by weeds." So he went and dug the vineyard and plucked up all the weeds that were in it. Then the vineyard became very beautiful and flourishing without any weeds to choke it. After a while, the master of the slave and of the field returned to his vineyard. When he saw that the vineyard had been fenced in properly, and over and above this had been dug and cleared of weeds, and that the vines were flourishing, he was exceedingly glad at the work of his slave. So he summoned his beloved son, who was his heir, and his friends, who were his advisors, and told them what he had ordered his slave to do and what he found. And they also rejoiced along with the slave at the testimony given by the master. The latter said to them, "I promised freedom to this slave if he observed the order which I gave him. He has kept my order, and besides, to my great pleasure, he has done a good work in the vineyards. So, as a reward for this, I wish to make him joint heir with my son, because when the good thought came, he did not neglect it, but put it into execution." The son of the master was pleased with this intention, that the slave should be joint heir with the son. A few days later, his master had a banquet and sent his slave many dainties from the feast. From the dainties sent to him by his master, the slave only took what was sufficient for himself and distributed the remainder to his fellow slaves. Then the fellow slaves, in their joy at receiving the dainties, began interceding on his behalf that he might find even greater favor with his master for having treated them so well. All these things his master heard, and once more was exceedingly pleased with his conduct. So the master called together his friends once more and his son and let them know what the slave had done with the dainties he'd received. Those who had been called together were all the more pleased that he should be joint heir with the son.
I said, "Sir, I do not know these parables and cannot understand them unless you explain them to me."
"I shall explain everything to you,"
he said,
"and whatever I tell you, I shall make clear to you. Keep the commandments of the Lord and you will be approved. You will be inscribed among the number of those who keep his commandments. But if you do any good over and above what is commanded by God, you will acquire more abundant glory and will be held in that much greater honor in the sight of God than you would be otherwise. Therefore, if you also perform these additional services while keeping God's commandments, joy will be yours, provided you observe them in accordance with my commandments."
I said to him, "Sir, whatever command you give, I shall observe, for I know that you are on my side."
"I shall be on your side, because you are zealous in doing good,"
he said.
"I shall also be on the side of all who have the same zeal. This fasting, which consists in the observance of the commandments of the Lord, is very beautiful,"
he said.
"This is the way to keep the fast you intend to observe. Before anything else, abstain from every wicked word and every evil desire, and purify your heart of all the vanities of this world. If you observe this, your fast will be perfect. Act as follows. After having done what is prescribed on the day of your fast, do not taste anything except bread and water. Compute the total expense for the food you would have eaten on the day on which you intended to keep a fast, and you will give it to a widow, an orphan, or someone in need. In this way, you will become humble in soul, so that the beneficiary of your humility may fill his soul and intercede to the Lord for you. Therefore, if you perform your fasting in the way I have commanded, your sacrifice will be acceptable in the sight of God, and this fast will be written down. And the service performed in this way is beautiful, joyous, and acceptable in the sight of the Lord. Observe these things in the manner explained, together with your children and your whole household. And if you observe them, you will be blessed, and all those who hear and observe these things will also be blessed, and whatever they ask from the Lord, they will receive."
I urgently asked him to explain the parable of the field, the master, the vineyard, the slave fencing in the vineyard, the fences, the weeds plucked out from the vineyard, the sun, and the friendly advisors, for I understood that all this was a parable. He answered and said,
"You are exceedingly persistent in your questions. You do not have to ask anything at all, for if there is need of explanation, it will be given you."
I said to him, "Sir, if you do not explain what you show me, there is no purpose in having seen it, since I do not understand what it means. Every time you tell me parables without giving me the key to them, I shall be listening in vain." He answered me again and said,
"Whoever is a servant of God and has the Lord in his heart asks for understanding and receives it. He has the key to every parable, and the words of the Lord told to him in parables become known. But those who are weak and sluggish in prayer hesitate to ask anything from the Lord. But the Lord is full of compassion and gives to those who make their petition without ceasing. Why do you not ask and receive understanding from the Lord? You have been strengthened by the holy angel. You have received from so many intercessions, and you are not sluggish. So ask of the Lord, and you will receive understanding."
I said to him, "Sir, since you are with me, I must ask and question you, for you show me everything, and now you are speaking with me. If I had seen and heard these things without you, I would ask the Lord to make it clear to me. He said,
I have just told you that you are shrewd and obstinate in asking for explanations of the parables. Since you are so persistent, I shall elucidate for you the parable of the field and all the other points that follow, so you can make them known to everyone. Listen and understand this,
he said.
The field is this world. The Lord of the field is the one who has created everything and fitted things together and given them strength. The slave is the Son of God, while the vines are the people he engendered. The fences are the holy angels of the Lord who sustain his people. The weeds plucked from the vineyard are iniquities of the servants of God. The food he sent are the commandments which he gave to his people through his Son. The friends and advisors are the holy angels who were created first. The departure of the Master for a foreign land is the time remaining until his coming.
I said to him, Sir, all this is marvelous, great, and glorious. Then I said, Truly, I could not have understood this. There is not a single man, no matter how clever he is, who is capable of understanding this. Once more, sir, explain to me what I am about to ask, I said.
Ask whatever you please,
he said. Why is the Son of God represented in the form of a slave in the parable? I said.
Listen,
he said.
The Son of God is not represented in the form of a slave, but is represented with great power and majesty.
How is that? I said. I do not understand. And he said,
Because God planted the vineyard, that is to say, he created the people and gave them over to his Son. The Son appointed the angels to watch over them. He himself purified their sins by undergoing innumerable toils and labors, for no one is able to dig without toil and labor. By purging away their sins in person, he showed them the ways of life and gave them the law which he received from his Father.
Then he said,
So you see that he is Lord of his people, because he has received all authority from his Father. Now, let me tell you why the Lord took his Son and the glorious angels as advisors in the question of the slave's inheritance. The Holy Spirit, the pre-existent, the creator of all creations, was made by God to dwell in the chosen flesh. Therefore, this flesh, in which the Holy Spirit dwelt, was beautifully subject to the Spirit and walked in holiness and purity and defiled the Spirit in absolutely nothing. Therefore, the flesh was guided with beauty and purity by the Spirit and shared his toil and labor in everything. Because the flesh had conducted itself with strength and courage, he associated it with the Holy Spirit, for he was pleased with the career of this flesh, which had not been defiled while holding the Spirit on earth. Therefore, he took the Son and the glorious angels as advisors, in order that the flesh, which blamelessly subjected itself to the Spirit, might have some place of abode and might not appear to have lost the reward of its service. For all flesh that has been found without spot or defilement, in which the Holy Spirit has had his abode, will receive a reward. Here you have the solution of this parable.
I am delighted, sir, to have heard this explanation, I said.
Let me tell you further,
he said.
Keep this flesh of yours pure and undefiled, in order that the Holy Spirit which dwells within may give testimony to it and your flesh may be justified. Make sure that the thought never arises in your heart that this flesh of yours is perishable and that you misuse it by any act of defilement. For if you defile your flesh, you also defile the Holy Spirit, and if you defile your flesh, you will not live.
I said, if prior to having heard these words, there was some ignorance, how can a man who has defiled his flesh be saved?
A remedy for previous ignorance is only possible for God, for he has all power.
He said,
but for now, preserve yourself, and the omnipotent Lord, in his great mercy, will grant a remedy for former transgressions. From now on, defile neither flesh nor spirit, for the two are associates, and one cannot be defiled without the other. Therefore, keep both pure and you will live to God.